Greeting and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program here on October 10, 2013. I'm your host, David Katzmar, coming to you live as I do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And tonight, the return of Leslie Carol Botha by popular demand. Leslie Carol Botha has been with us before. Last time she was telling us about the launch of her new book, Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. Doing well on Amazon. You might want to check that out. Or better yet, go find it on her site at holyhormones.com. We have a lot to cover tonight, but what I'm most excited about is the launch of her new the premiere of her new radio show on Voice America just recently here called Holy Hormones. And here to talk about that and all the subjects we're going to cover tonight is Leslie Carol Botha. Leslie, are you there?
I am here, David. It's so nice to be back. And I think you're the only one who wants me back. But, you know, if there's someone else out there, that's great, too.
No, I gotta appeal to the fans. I get my own agendas from time to time, but I get the feedback and reread them all, folks. When you go to collarhythms.org and send your feedback in, or go to blogtalkradio.com/cycles and leave your comments and everything like that, we do read them. And when if my listeners found out that you started your new radio show, and there were still some of them that hadn't found out about it, and I didn't tell them or have you on, I would get in trouble. So, Leslie, why don't you tell us?
Well, yeah, you know, Voice America is they call themselves a leader in radio internet, but they come with a price, and it's a very high-class operation, and the professionalism is fabulous. The technical support, the marketing, promotional support is fabulous. But really what was lacking for me was a sponsor. And for 5 years, I tried to find a sponsor that I could marry. Mm-hmm. And in other words, whose values aligned with mine and that I could likewise align with their values. And in the last year and a half, that has happened. And as I got to know more about this company and more about this company and realized that they're missing an educational component to what they were doing, we started talking about launching my radio show, Holy Hormones Honey, on Voice America, and focusing on mental illness, mood disorders, hormone imbalance, and the use of micronutrient supplements versus medications. This is the new science. Healing the brain. We're getting away from lobotomies and into a whole new realm with the advent of neuroscience research and be able to see and understand the brain and know that the brain can heal itself and that the brain never ages. It's not just as some gray matter between our between our ears, right, as we have been taught. So the company is TrueHope.com. True Hope is out of Canada. And just briefly, they have developed a line of bioavailable synchronistic ratio vitamin, mineral, amino acid supplements and now have successfully gotten over 100,000 people off their bipolar medications around the world.
Hallelujah. You know, with all our fumblings around, we do make progress from time to time. So does that mean that True Hope has ruled out bloodletting and the use of bleaches?
Yes. Yes, indeed they have. And this is a very interesting story, and I'll just go over it briefly because I'm always fascinated by it. Because this is another layperson that is moving mountains, David. You're one, I'm another. We're gathering with others. We may not have the PhDs behind our names and blah, 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 but we're out there moving mountains and as good as anyone else. And so Anthony Stephan is the founder of the company. In 1994, his wife committed suicide after being on Prozac for 2 weeks. The headline in the paper, I saw that article in the paper. I was struck by that article in the paper and said, wife commits suicide, leaving behind 9 children after 2 weeks on Prozac. It turns out that she had a severe form of bipolar disorder. Her father had committed suicide from bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
She had 9 kids. Every pregnancy that she went through depleted more vital nutrients out of her body.
Yes.
And back then, which seems like such a long time ago, but back then we didn't understand the importance of replacing those nutrients, which is even more crucial now, but I'll leave that story aside for a moment. And so Anthony's left with 9 kids, 2 of them with the same form of bipolar disorder, rapid cycling 1, schizophrenic tendencies. He was told to drug him and throw him in an institution. That's all he could do for him. He read, and who works in the vet feed supply business, and that man said, oh, that sounds like pig ear tail chasing disease. And this is what we give swine.
Yes.
And it calms them down. It calms down everyone in the pen. Because you know how these things radiate out, like an addict or, you know, someone who has manic highs and then depressive lows. It affects everyone around them. They're like, oh, I've lived with enough of them. Anyway, so they spent 10 years developing a proprietary formula. Think about it, David. What is one thing we're not getting in our diet? Time's up. It's minerals.
Yeah.
I don't think you were going to get it. That's why I jumped in. And I didn't realize this either. And minerals have to be in synchronistic ratio with each other. So be that as it may, they developed, took all the vet-grade vitamins and minerals and made them into a human-grade supplement. And you think about it, really, David, we put our cattle and our horses, we give them, what, mineral blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's easier to see when you're looking at another creature. We don't see ourselves as clearly. Sometimes.
Minerals light up the electromagnetic frequencies in the brain.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. So they developed this formula. They gave it to the one daughter, Autumn, after she was on 24-hour care after doing another psychiatric hospital stint.
Yeah.
She was checking herself in and out of the hospital to protect everyone from herself and her husband and her kids from herself. And they force-fed the supplement to her.
Yeah.
She was on like 5 or 6 chemical cocktails at the time.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 months, she was off of everything.
Good.
Same for the son, who was totally disruptive behavior, blah, blah, blah. I just interviewed a high-level Canadian political player 2 weeks ago on my radio show, Lori Pernard. The title of that show is My Name is Lori Pernard, I Live with Mental Illness.
Yeah.
Notice the term is not I suffer from or I have a, it's live with a mental illness, bipolar. She fell out of the graces of the Canadian government and almost committed suicide.
Yeah.
In 2 months, she was off her medications.
Yeah.
And gained her life back. And now she is a spokeswoman for the Canadian Mental Health Association.
It's time for us to listen because we have to hear some new things, Leslie.
And it's time for us to listen. And it's so, I mean, what has gone on here in this country, David? And somewhere along here we'll talk about cycles. But we are going to talk about cycles. But what has gone on here? And I just interviewed Robert Whitaker today. He is the author of Mad in America and another book, Anatomy of an Epidemic, Magic Bullet, Psychiatric Drugs, and the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America. 1 in 4 American adults are on psychotropic drugs, some sort of prescription medications for mental emotional disorders. The National Institute of Mental Health, NIMH, has stated that mood disorders, which include major disorder, dysrhythmic disorder, and bipolar disorder, and about 20.9 million American adults, about 9.5% of the U.S. population age 18 and older in a given year, have a mood disorder.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 4 adults suffer from a diagnosable mental disorder in a given year. I mean, these are huge numbers, and we look around us, and we have to ask, are we going mad in America? I mean, and it's not just here, but I mean, that's a good start. Look at every massacre of innocent American citizens. It's done by a person with a history of mental illness and a cache of psychotropic drugs.
Yes.
Every
yes.
single one of them. Now, let's talk about Miriam Carey.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam Carey, as you all know, or maybe don't know, is the young black woman who was gunned down in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill last week after driving erratically through police barricades, getting too close to the White House or the Hill or with a baby in the car. Unarmed.
Yes.
suffering from postpartum depression, suffering from, and then also at home they found prescriptions for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia.
Don't seem like they helped, did they?
Now, postpartum depression is now being called postpartum psychosis. Why is that, David? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And that is, what is the only thing that has changed in the last 30, 40 years?
In the last 34 years?
Yeah.
30 or 40 years?
Yeah, take a step. What has really, and really specifically in the last 10 to 20 years, what has changed? Think about our environment. What has changed?
Well, the advent of the internet has expounded greatly.
All right, yeah, okay, we're not going there.
No.
Nutrition, our food sources.
Yeah.
We are bringing up generations of kids without any nutrition in their diets. They're eating processed foods.
They are.
They're throwing them in the microwave, which
That's
kills
true.
Whatever left in them, all right, and reconfigures the DNA in the food. They're eating GMOs. Our corn is plastic these days. They're eating corn syrup, which contains mercury, which causes neurological damage. They're exposed to aluminum. They're not eating live food. Now, generationally, I mean, it just doesn't happen in one generation. It happens two or three generations where the person's nutritional reserve is getting lower and lower and lower.
Yes.
Vaccines deplete nutrients. Psychotropic medications deplete nutrients. Stress depletes nutrients. We don't have nutrients in our food. All of these things combined. So what is happening is that we are becoming slowly a sicker and sicker people. And then you add synthetic hormones in for these poor women on don't eat, okay, I'll go there later. Synthetic hormones for birth control, that depletes nutrients. So you've got women going into a pregnancy nutritionally depleted and coming out the other side after that baby, that beautiful balance and check of Mother Nature, which ensures that that baby's born healthy, robs every single nutrient that's left in that mother's body, and she develops postpartum psychosis, hormone imbalance, nutrient depletion, no reserves left. She can't function. What happens? When the brain is no longer getting the nutrients it needs, it becomes depressed. It becomes anxious. The body becomes tired.
Yes.
Instead of we diagnose and we prescribe. And that's how we look at it. And it was very interesting looking at Miriam Carey last week. And I have a beautiful photo of her on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of this article is Miriam Carey. How did a beautiful woman end up a psychotic victim?
Yes.
Beautiful woman. And then you go back to Andrea Yates. Remember Andrea Yates?
Yeah.
Andrea Yates in the early 2000, I think 2001. I'm going to go back to my notes because I had this out today. Oh, it's in the article up there. Andrea Yates was a Houstonite. A beautiful, gorgeous woman graduated from Houston Nursing School in 1986. Do I have your attention yet? She gets married. She has five kids. Boom, boom, boom. In the meantime, she's got a history of mental illness. And then, which is exacerbated by these kids, she's put on Thorazodone and Halidol. She attempts suicide. And then in June of 2001, she drowned each one of those babies in her bathtub one by one.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
But she had a string of mental illness. I mean, she was in and out of the hospitals. That someone would leave her alone with that child? I hold the state at fault. I hold her husband at fault. I hold the family at fault. Now this woman in 2013 sits in, let's see, she was acquitted of capital crime by reason of insanity, okay? So obviously not premeditated, right, folks?
Yeah.
She was insane at the time, and now she sits in a state mental hospital.
Good Lord.
And she was denied the right to go to church last year, 2012.
Yeah. Huh. we've got to do something about this. We're drinking soft water. We're eating overprocessed foods. We're eating dead food, aren't we?
Dead food. If you want to be living people, you have to eat live food. Thank you, David.
Yes.
Yes. Dead food makes dead people. It doesn't get any more complicated than that, folks. So that goes back to the sponsor and focusing on their work. And I have to tell you, for those of you researchers and PhDs out there and want to say, well, where's the proof? There are 22 independently published studies on the True Hope and Power Plus supplement. 22.
Wow.
Different universities, different organizations, to the tune of $25 million.
And their findings had elements in common, did they?
They are finding that the product works for depression, anxiety, autism, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. They're now using it for other things, but it enhances brain functioning. Here's the deal, David. You know, we've looked at the body. We've separated the body. We've got our heart specialists. We've got our lung specialists. We've got our uterus specialists, you know.
No.
Go see them. Go see them. No, yeah, well, you need to see them. But the brain is the motherboard.
Yes.
There's a beautiful NEI super system in the brain. It's called the neuroendocrine immune system. In fact, there's a whole new field emerging now based on it, neuroendoimmunology.
Mm-hmm.
When these three systems function, the body has a chance to heal. When they function with each other, the body has a chance to heal.
Indeed. You know, we're coming out of, you say we would talk about cycles later. You're actually talking about it now because we're on a transitional point of coming out of 20th century thinking, which compartmentalizes everything. That's why we're over-specialized. We're not realizing its role in an interactive sensitive system and how any part of the body affects every part of the body because of the fractal relationship, the interactivity, and systems, how they work. And as we're moving towards a less mechanized view, as we get out of the machine age, we're learning that there are natural biological solutions. We're even talking about growing computer parts in the future. So our solution on the thinking that we're coming out of is to medicate something or to mechanize something. And as we get a little bit more emotional intelligence and just plain good old-fashioned intelligence, we're going to realize that some of the simple solutions that we've been using for ages are better than some of the mechanical improvements we tried to impose. And we're moving more towards the kind of realizations that people like you are bringing forth. So how is your work and getting the word out there, get it being received on the onset of your program, which is some 11 weeks old now?
Well, it's 11 weeks old. True Hope just renewed for another 13 weeks. I've interviewed some very fascinating people along the way, the researchers behind this product. Holly Griggs-Ball is a colleague of mine. She has just published her first book called Sweetening the Pill, How We Got Hooked on Hormonal Birth Control. There's a horror story for you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. What are synthetic hormones, David? Time's up. Steroids.
Oh.
What did we just do to Lance Armstrong and the Yahoo on the one of the baseball teams?
Yeah.
We kicked him right out.
Yeah.
Steroid use. Yeah, we've got 2015, 200 million women are going to be on birth control.
And what does that do to the body? If you become dependent on an external substance to regulate your feedback loops and everything, does that not make your own natural defenses and sources and regulatory system less functioning?
You suppress the brain. You suppress it's a lobotomy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we used to, you know, take out women's uteruses because of hysteria. Now we're focusing on the brain for women. Let's just lobotomize them. Holly Sprigberg's out and it spurred my work many, many years ago when I got into this. She brings out in her book, femaleness, and this goes back to the 18th to 19th century when women were being thrown into insane asylums and the husbands throwing away the key because they had the right to do that. Femaleness is known to be a mental illness that needs to be managed.
You have to understand the relational aspect of this. I think some of the doctors who came up with these formulas had a double brain bypass before they invented it. They feel better, so why wouldn't this work for something else?
Well, here's the deal. You know where the real power lies, David?
Where?
In women.
Yes.
And which is why there's so much misogyny, so much fear, so much threatened by women, and you go through women's history and you see all this. And, yeah. And I'll tell you why, and I've got this in my book. I mean, this is where I'm coming from. Women, not only were the original font for life on this planet, we are the reason this planet is still around and the human race is still around. Men are doing a good job of killing us off, that's for sure. However, all right, I'll digress. Anyway, women understood the power of cycles from the beginning of time. In fact, in our book, we have archived photos, which you have seen, David.
Mm-hmm,
all right, because you've read the book, you reviewed the book. Archived photos of antler bones and stones where the menstrual cycle is etched along with the lunar cycle.
And these were ancient antler bones.
250,000 BC, kind of, sort of, long time ago.
Yep.
This is the beginning of time. Now, let's think about this, folks. What does this really mean? I'll tell you. What it means is that early folks didn't live with fluorescent lights and four walls around them and then another 10 stories above them. Is they lived on the land. What did they see? The sun during the day and the stars at night and the moon at night, right? That became their calendar. That became their time clock. In fact, we lived with lunar calendars except for the last 40,000 years when we did it, when the Gregorian calendar was developed, right? And that's pretty much artificial time, folks. That doesn't make any sense to anybody. The lunar calendar was 13 months in a year, and it was, you started every month with the new moon.
Yes.
And that's the dance of this universe. Now, let me ask you this, David. Remember how you felt last week?
Yeah, kind of low energy.
Very good. I'm going to bet that everyone in your audience, listening audience, felt the same way. We dragged our buttholes last week, all of us, every one of us, and it was an intense waning moon. The new moon was last Thursday, Friday. It went into the weekend. We're just beginning to see that the sliver in the sky, which is getting larger every single night. When that moon rises, when that moon gets bigger, the collective energy in our universe gets grows as well. When that moon wanes and then disappears, we're like, oh, right? Oh, I am so tired. And I go, that's okay, you're in the right place at the right time. It's good for you to be so tired because there's no collective energy. It's okay, rest. That is what it says in the Bible, there's a time to give and there's a time to receive.
The book of Ecclesiastes was right, and we look in the fractal relationship of all things in the world. You don't want to go jogging at 3 a.m. Unless you work night work. And there's a time to be up and a time to be down. And this isn't 24-hour cycle only. It's in the lunar cycles and the different seasons of the year.
Absolutely.
But we try to move in a straight line, and we forget all that.
It's testosterone-driven. You know, I mean, that's why people, you know, retire from work, have a heart attack and die.
Yes.
They've worn their body so much. In fact, look at people these days, David. They look so much biologically older than their chronological age.
Yeah.
They've worn out. So let me go back to the cycles theory, which is all in my book, Understanding Your Mind and Hormone Cycles, which is why you and I became colleagues how many years ago now?
Okay, it's been a few.
So women menstruated with the new moon.
Yes.
That's how powerful this was. So think about the new moon, which is, you don't even see the moon in the sky. It is the darkest day of the cycle. All right. That's day one. That matches up with day one of the menstrual period, the lowest point in a woman's hormone cycle. All right. And she starts bleeding. And then 3 and 4 days later, her hormones start rising.
Mm-hmm.
And she's feeling better.
Yeah.
Every man in the world knows that one. They live with it, right? And she's feeling better. That's how it is with the moon rising in the sky. So now we've obliterated the moon from our visual view, acknowledgement, our conscious acknowledgement, though a lot of us do subconsciously still play with that cycle. And we've synthesized women. We've told them they don't need this menstrual cycle, that, you know, just forget about it. It's not necessary, blah, blah, blah. And we're sick because every cell in our body goes with the circadian rhythm. Every cell in the body, right, David? You know this. And it matches the larger picture, which you're showing us with fractals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I often give the analogy, too, that in the fractal relationship and looking at nature, that if you were to sail from New York to London, you wouldn't sail in a straight line. You would go navigate the trade winds and go with the currents. You're going to get there faster. You're going to get there easier. You're going to get there better. And certainly, we do pay a little attention to our circadian rhythms because most of our business activity takes place during the day rather than at night. But we can get away from that. Some people start feeling ill when they work at night shift because it's synchronous to the circadian rhythms. And we sometimes forget the lunar activity, except the police can't forget it because there's more activity on a full moon. But as we get totally separated from that, and we have a roof over our head instead of the stars moving across the sky and the sun, then we just get totally out of sync. But we would think, if it's something mechanical, we would say, oh, well, you got to sail with the winds and you got to sail with the currents because that's external and tangible. And we say, of course, well, any, if you don't know that, you're an idiot. Well, then, okay, well, how about moving your body with the lunar cycles that we've evolved to over millions of years? Oh, that doesn't count. That's just our bodies.
That is the Holy Grail. Living with cycles, David, you know and I know, is the Holy Grail of this life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And instead, we choose to be salmon swimming upstream all the time. And especially for women, because we're trying to get along in this testosterone world, we're hanging on like it's a tightrope, you know, because our hormones are rising and the hormones are falling over here and everyone else is just chugging along at their steady pace and nobody acknowledges this beautiful rhythm that women go through. And that's why hysterectomies are such like the number one surgery or number two surgery for women in the United States. It's because by the time they hit their 30s, 40s, that uterus is so whacked out. Their endocrine system is so whacked out, they just say, take it out, I'm done here, which then further throws them into more imbalance. So the book that my co-author, Sandra Chevalier-Bodick, and I wrote, and it's brilliantly illustrated by Nick Baddock, her husband, is about the importance of the role of the endocrine system in the body.
Yeah.
From the pineal gland in the brain, all the way down, and actually, I'm developing some graphics as a part of the curriculum, is that the endocrine glands line up with the chakras in the body.
Interesting. I did not know that.
I know.
Holy cow.
So here we are. We've got 20 million women with suppressed endocrine systems. And lack of nutrients in our diet, and we're a mess. I just heard from a husband, a man who works at a university, who was reaching out to me. He's saying he and his son are suffering because other than 10 days out of the month, the wife and the mother is on a holy hormone rage.
Yeah.
And makes everyone's life miserable.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, David, that the reason for bad relationships and friction between men and women is hormone-driven. So here's the deal. This is what has to happen. I love what you said, moving out of the machine age where we mechanize and medicate everything. That's brilliant. I'm going to have to remember that. We have to know now that we're no longer Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
That term's obsolete either. We are homeoluminescence. We are biochemical electrical frequencies, and the behaviors that we exhibit are based on the biochemical electrical frequencies and their firing and their wiring in our bodies. We got to get rid of the whole Freudian concept, whoever came up the id. I think it was Freud. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe you'd know. Anyway, we got to get rid of the whole id-ego you know, concept.
You're giving me uterine envy.
You should have uterine envy. I still have my uterus, and it does me fine. Thank you very much. And
that's a little play for folks who are not Freudian. That's a little play on Freud's theory of penis envy. The problem with women is that they really wish they were men.
Yeah, I don't know one woman. just ask me. But anyway, we'll do that another time. But the deal is, we are biochemical. And who we are, our behaviors, are a result of the health or the imbalance of that biochemical system.
Well, you know, we're kind of doing to our bodies what we've been doing to the earth. You know, we go, you talk about cycles. How about the Nile River? What does this have to do with hormones? Well, how about our reaction to it and what we're doing to ourselves, because our reaction to ourselves, and there's a parallel. For years and years and centuries, thousands of years, the Nile River used to have its annual flooding that would bring rich nutrients up onto the banks and the waters would subside. And now the soils are renewed. It would be great for farming, and the winds would work because the currents of the river went north, but the winds went south, so you could coast one way or sail the other way, and it was a source of life with all the patterns and cycles they're in. And then in the 20th century, somebody came along and said, well, we could put a power dam here. All we got to do is dam the Nile. Well, we dammed the Nile, we dammed our own process, and we dammed ourselves because we were using the same kind of policies on ourselves. Two guys are sitting on a bar. Jim, how are you doing? Oh, not too good. What's the matter, Bob? Well, my wife. I took her to the doctor, and she was diagnosed as a woman. Got to do something about that. You know, we're performing surgery. Meantime, it's got some drugs.
That's a classic. But you're right about the minerals. The minerals are crucial. In fact, people who used wood stoves and burned coal, they put all of that soot into their gardens. That soot, that ash, contains minerals. Minerals don't break down. You know, so that's how we were replenishing our nutritional sources, because we were surrounded by minerals. These days we're not. The table salt we're eating, and if you're eating that kosher Morton salt, it's killing you. You need Himalayan salt, minerals from the earth, not these processed salts. There's no mineral nutrients. Nothing left in it. If you taste Himalayan salt, oh my God, that your food comes alive. It's not like salting from, you know, just regular table salt, where it's just, there's such a big difference. And this is funny. I had a roommate here for a while last year, and I was gone for 2 months, and I came back, and he was a PhD student, and my Himalayan salt was gone in 2 months. And he said to me, I couldn't stop eating it. And instead of being upset with him, I knew why he couldn't stop eating it, because his body craved it. It needed those minerals.
Real minerals.
Real minerals. Right, exactly.
Last December, in my study of cycles, my studies took me to the small Central American country of Honduras. Beautiful, beautiful land there. And I went to way up north into the small town Copan. This was an ancient city of the Maya, and I walked amongst the pyramids and met there with one of the local archaeologists who's world famous, and attended festivals. It was that December 21 before and after I was there. And but of all the things I talked about, it wasn't just the cycles of pyramids and meeting the people down there and the Mayan culture. It was the food. And wherever, nothing ever gets refrigerated. You eat eggs within a day or two of them being laid. The food is from all tree-ripened fruit, as opposed to bananas are picked when they're little itty-bitty baby bananas and shipped around the world. And the minerals are all in the food. It's a natural paradise. And I would sit there in the restaurant, take a bite of food. I would lean back, close my eyes, lay my hand over my heart as I'm chewing, and make sounds of, oh, my. And the owner of the restaurant would be sitting there looking, smiling. I get nothing like this in a five-star restaurant. And then I came back and I realized the contrast. it's a bit disappointing because no matter how well you prepare it, we don't have the ingredients. It's taken out. Anyway, that's a long story to say that there is a world of difference when you eat the natural foods that have the natural ingredients. You can tell what we're missing, and it's showing up everywhere, Leslie. I'm glad you're bringing out how it's manifesting, why it's manifesting, and you're pointing us in the right direction to do something about this.
I have never been so excited in my life. You know, when I started out with my book, and I was downloading stuff in the 80s, and, you know, holy hormones, honey, and who'd have thought I'd be making a name as a hormone goddess and with a silly name as Holy Hormones, honey. Now I've got the Holy Hormones Journal,
yeah,
which is doing very well, about 2,000 visitors a day, and that was a count a few months ago.
And still going up,
yeah. But, you know, I had my book. I had an educational tool, but it was like, well, so what? It's not enough. Education is one thing, but now there is this nutritional supplement. And I say, here, try this. And when I consult with women, here, try this. I'm giving you a week. Try this.
Yes.
They go away. They order the supplement. I never see them again. I like that kind of consulting. So all you men out there listening, if you got a woman who needs some help there, and by the way, I also did a show for, all right, I'm putting this one on YouTube, guys. I did a show with Dr. Jed Diamond, who has a website called Men Alive. And he's written a book called Irritable Male Syndrome. Male Manopause. And here's the deal. Both men and women get to a certain age and we're nutritionally depleted.
Yeah.
Our hormones change. We start aging.
Yeah.
All right? That's a natural process of life. Of course, we've made it into diseases. We've medicalized menstruation and menopause. All right?
Yeah.
And men get go away scot-free. Nobody recognizes andropause or male menopause, but wives are miserable. They're miserable with irritable male syndrome.
Yeah.
So men need this as well because it's part of the aging process that we're not getting the nutritional content.
You know, men are starting to get in touch with their feelings. We've been hearing a lot of that lately, and maybe in the process of that, they'll get in touch with what's changing with them and start to understand a little bit more what's why that's changing. We are moving more and more natural. As we get more and more intelligence, the theory of the cycles that I talk about is that we're on a rising intellectual cycle and a rising emotional cycle at the same time, which means a rise of feminine energy. A rise in feminine energy means more emotional intelligence, more understanding of how things work in a cyclical thing, not always putting oneself as master of one's destiny, plotting in a straight line in a world that will be controlled because everything is only a sequence of events. There's no cycles of history. There's no cycles that affect us. We are just a sequence of cause and effect, and our job is to be in control and to conquer nature and everything like that. Whereas a more feminine way of looking at things is to realize that you can't plot things out on simple hierarchies of power of dominance and hopefully put yourself at the apex, but that we live in an interconnected world of cycles within cycles, and it's better to flow with the rhythms and to work with the cycles in an interconnected pattern of cooperation. And, you know, because we are not the most powerful force in the universe. We are part of it. So
we are powerful when we are part of that universal force. You are so correct.
Yes. Yes. And what a wonderful place to be. I mean, if we were the most powerful thing around, wouldn't that make it a limited universe?
Yeah. It would be boring. But unfortunately, let's follow that train of thought for a while. And I'm glad because it is time for women to come back and to reclaim their bodies, for one thing, reclaim their husbands, so the other thing, reclaim the family, that's the third thing. I liken women to be the nucleus of an atom, and the husband and the partners and the children are the electrons and the protons. And when the nucleus is intact, the atom is intact. when the nucleus is chaotic, everyone becomes chaotic. That's not rocket science either. It's a great little analogy. But I'm not sure where I was going with this now, Dave. It sounded good at the time. But it is, yeah, here we go. It is time for women to own a rightful place in this world. I mean, women have fought and struggled for everything. You think about it. How many of you know anything about women's history? I see one hand up there out of 1,000, right, David? Nothing,
yeah.
Not even good enough.
Yeah.
How can you not victimize a segment of the population who has no sense of their history, of the accomplishments women who have made before them?
Yes.
The successes, the failures, the contributions that these women have made. We're seeing what Hillary Rodham Clinton has done and some other great women, what they're achieving and new status. And these girls, young girls growing up, have nobody. But anyway, we need to bring women back into the game as equals and as partners instead of looking at femaleness as a
something
mental illness that needs to be managed and treated, right? So I have to read you this quote. This is a great quote. I just read Eve Ensler's book, In the Body of the World. And Eve Ensler wrote the Vagina Monologues. She started V-Day, which has been held for how many years now on February 14th, as everyone is rising to end violence against women. And by the way, the global stats these days for violent acts to women are 1 in 3 women are going to be violently abused or raped or beaten.
Good.
1 in 3 women.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a violent transition from patriarchy to whatever it's going to evolve into.
Yes.
40 million women,
yes,
have disappeared. I don't have that right. It's 200 million women have disappeared in the last 40 years. 200 million women, David. I don't see anyone out there protesting that one. Have disappeared. Femicide, gendercide, eldercide, abortions. China aborts more female babies per year than are born in the United States.
Yes, because they have a policy to, in order to cut back on the
population.
So now they have female, only one child.
Yeah. So now their female population is so depleted that they are wealthy parents are buying daughters, firstborn daughters, and raising them with their sons so that their sons will have a woman to marry.
Yes.
It's like, whoa. All right, so anyway. So, yeah, with all that violence against women, and oh, so 200 million women have disappeared. That's more than all the wars and the Holocaust.
Yes.
And who is raising their hand? Oh, I see one hand in your audience again. I like that person.
Yes.
Who's raising their hand? Nobody.
Right. You know, I believe that you mentioned the world arena here and how women are treated, and these horrors are even worse than I knew, because I'm not as versed on the actual numbers as you are in your pervasive and in-depth research. But I believe part of what's going on, let's take the Middle East right now, that we're having what's been dubbed an Arab Spring. But you notice that a lot of the old systems are just breaking apart at the seams with uprising after uprising. And really what you have in many places, I mean, there's a lot of wonderful people in the Middle East. And I have Lebanese in my family, and a lot of wonderful places to live there. And it's very deep and very rich culture. We as Americans can learn from that. But there is also an element of gender slavery, and it's horrible. And there are some things that would be terrible to speak of. There's even a thing called female castration and infibulation that goes on, and it's just absolutely horrifying.
Genital mutilation, right? Exactly.
Yes. And but in this, what's happening is it seems that it's all across the Arab world. It's happening all at once. And how could all these countries be popping like popcorn all at once? Well, the heat evenly in the world pan has risen to that breaking point temperature, and that the human spirit, which is interconnected on the global sphere, moving cyclically, has risen to that point where it is breaking through now. Your work is is pioneering basically where we're going as a global consciousness. And so this is why I seek you to tell our listeners of what you're finding, because the people who are following you are growing. Every year I talk to you, making a world impact with this. And the world's ready to follow, because the world, that's the way it's going.
And you predicted years ago, David, that it would be 2013, 2014 that the pharmaceutical companies would fall.
Well, it's starting.
The
era of reform would begin. Not that they would necessarily fall immediately, but we have just entered an era of reform. And as I've been saying since the 1990s, the biggest hit is going to come in the United States because of the national rhythms, the pharmaceutical companies. And
yep, I want to see them fall a slow, painful death.
I want to see a long-term, joyous rise in the liberation from us
people.
Making choices.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And informed choices. You know, we're a consumer-driven society, and if the consumers don't put the power outside of themselves to seek a little pill to make them feel this way, to make themselves happy, to regulate their bodies and everything like that, they realize that Mother Nature is something in which we, if we evolve, we will make choices. And as consumers in the consumer-driven society, we will not empower the things that hurt us. So we may not be able to stop the dealer, but we can appeal to the consumer. That's why you're my hero.
Well, you're my hero too. Let's just follow that thought with these psychotropic drugs one more time. So these psychotropic drugs affect the neural pathways in the brain in one generation. They also affect them in the next generation. So this has been going on since the 1940s and 50s.
Yes.
Just like synthetic hormones. We got to wake up, people. We got to wake up. We don't have our brains.
Cross-generational cumulative effect. But we can break the pattern.
Oh, yeah, we can break the pattern. You know, I look forward to waking up every day and know I'm going to be energized. I'm going to be feeling healthy. I'm going to be energized. I'm going to get a bunch of work done because I can focus and not be distracted. I can think things through. I can pull off a couple of radio shows in one day, you know, and multitask on the phone and go to bed and sleep well and get up and do it again. Yeah, there are some days I'm more tired than the other, and it's all moon cycle related, and I give myself permission to do that because it's a good thing. All right, let's go back to Eve Ensler, where I digressed before and got into the violence against women. This is out of her book, In the Body of the World. It's about her bout with uterine cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Eve Ensler has worked with hundreds and thousands of women who have been brutalized and victimized around the world. And one of the comments in the book that I remember, and it's a small book to read, is her doctor, when they discovered the cancer, said, "This isn't medical. This isn't science.
Mm-hmm.
This cancer is spiritual."
Hmm.
And what she had done was absorbed all of the horror stories of these women in Africa specifically, and what had been done to their bodies. Raped, mutilated, vaginally mutilated.
Yeah.
So they can't even hold urine anymore. They can't even hold their feces in anymore.
Yes.
And then they are thrown out of their community.
Yes.
Young girls, raped, mutilated, brutalized. So this was her cancer, and then her book is just, she talks about somatization. Do you know what that is, David?
I do not.
I don't either. But anyway, maybe one of your listeners will email us and let us know. But anyway, here's the paragraph. She says, turns out the somatization, now soma, that means, I know there's a soma mushroom. So to me it means like something. That somatization is related to hysteria, which stems from the Greek cognate of uterus, hysteria. Uterus equals hysteria. She says, they always called me hysterical in my family. Extreme feeling. Sarah Bernhardt. Intense. But what is extreme? Again, it depends on 10. I mean, what would be the appropriate level of emotional response to someone beating you daily or calling you jackass? or stupid or molesting you, what would be the non-hysterical response to living in a world where so many are eating dirt and swimming in the sewage system in Port-au-Prince to unclog the drains and find plastic bottles to sell? What would be the non-hysterical response to people blindfolding other people and walking them around naked on leashes or watching, waving people being abandoned on rooftops in a flood? What would be the proper way to experience these things? And then she says, David, hysteria, a word to make women feel insane for knowing what they know.
Yes.
Do you want me to repeat that? Okay, I will.
Please.
Hysteria, a word to make women feel insane for knowing what they know. And then she goes on. A word that has so many implications. Hysterical, out of control, insane, can't be taken seriously, raving. Hysteria is caused by suffering from a huge trauma where there is an underlying conflict. What was my conflict? Loving my mother and father, betraying my mother when my father molested me, wanting my father all to myself even if it hurt my mother, witnessing and hearing the most horrific stories in the world inflicted on women's bodies and being unable to stop it in spite of every effort.
Yes. Yes.
Powerful writing.
Yeah, and those who would want to suppress the truth would find it a threat to their power, so they're going to claim that this isn't true by discrediting those who would report that they know what they know by telling them they don't know what they know.
And put them on drugs. So I tell women when I consult with women, and I offer consultation services these days for numerous amount of people, but also that I tell women that this is not our reality. We have come up with this nonsense. If we had a say on how we were going to craft our world, our reality, and this is why we struggle. This is why we're hysterical. This is why we're depressed. This is why we're anxious, because it's not our reality.
Yes, it's a suppressed reality. It's a falsality.
It's a false. Ooh, I like that. It's a falsality. And men aren't happy in it either.
No, that explains the violence and the alcoholism and the drug abuse.
Yep.
Avoiding emotion. And so we're moving into a new era. You know, the study of cycles tells me that the study of cycles itself will become realized. As we realize the study of cycles without and within us, we'll realize that we have internal rhythms and we move in a world of cycles around us. And as more men realize that, they're going to come into understanding how women live with this all the time. You know, Leslie, when I first started working, bringing forth the study of cycles, this study I discovered in 1978, by the way. And as I was bringing it forth, it was almost every woman I talked to would understand what I was saying. And they're saying, that's interesting, tell me more. And the men I would talk to would either say, it isn't true. They wouldn't listen to it, or would say, how do you put it in the stock market and how can I make money? You got 5 minutes to tell me how, go. And now what I'm finding is that across the board, men and women are all listening to things that are greater and outside of ourselves. And in the process, again, with the divine comedy, that as we understand the things that are greater and outside of ourselves, we understand the things that move within us as well. And so this is not new to feminine thinking. And what we're going to have is an androgyny that rises the set point of our realization. And it's going to be a less of a polarization, separatization, and a gender enslavement as we start to have more emotional intelligence and realize that if you need a certain species to live off of what we get from that species, you don't kill them all until they're all gone and extinct. If you need a certain plant to feed us, you don't pick them all until they're all gone and extinct. And we can stop hurting ourselves. And so it's a little bit smarter. You see, the machine age was a physical high, that's mechanical, while at the same time the emotional and intellectual cycles throughout the 19th to 20th centuries were low. So we outbuilt our own sense. Now we're reversing that trend, and we're not using brute force as the first and last means for everything. We're starting to have a higher level of realization. That means the world around us and ourselves, and we're starting to have a greater appreciation, a greater romanticism. And that's where we can start to appreciate and understand more. The woman's voice is being heard now, that the clamor and the din of the machine age is fading into distant echoes. And what we're hearing is, help, this isn't right, let's do it new, let's try this. My point to you, Leslie, is the world is listening now.
You called me up quite a few years ago. Remember that?
I do.
In the middle of the night when I was in a very depressed state of mind, to tell me that I was no longer ahead of my time, I was in my time. And you said, and God told me to tell you.
And you said, I cannot believe that you called me at this exact minute, because you don't know how meaningful and important it was that I called at that exact moment. Well, thank you for giving me the credit. It wasn't my idea. I was told. And you were working. You were germinating these ideas, and you were like a plant that's ready to break the earth with the first leaves and the stalk and the ray of sunshine. And my point was that the dawn was upon us, and you're about to break through the ground with the beautiful plant of ideas. And yes, I recall I said, you're no longer 15 minutes ahead of your time. The world has caught up. And lo and behold, what has happened in these recent years since that phone call, Holy Hormones has gone on to be a fabulous popular site. Your book came forth with Chevalier Batik, mm-hmm. And Nick Batik. What a wonderful collaboration, and is doing well. And now sponsors have come to join with you to bring your voice onto Voice America with the Holy Hormones radio show. Leslie, how do people find that show if they want to listen to it?
Well, go to On the Air on my blog at holyhormones.com, and I list all of my topics, and there is a link there to where the shows are archived on my landing page, Holy Hormones landing page on Voice America. It's on the Health and Wellness channel. And my show airs 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Pacific time, noon Eastern time, Thursdays, every single Thursday. And then the show is up there and archived for podcasts and listening afterwards. So, we're getting a really great response to it. And, you know, you can't – I'm watching the clock here. I have to tell you, David, I went to see an energy healer last year because I was – so tense and tight, and I still am, but I'm getting some work done on my neck. It's all that computer work. And I was so panicking in myself. And it was all because of what has happened to me in past lives whenever I had a voice. Mm. And I was either burned at the stake or I was entombed one time, according to another psychic friend of mine. And to this day, I have to have a window open everywhere I go. I cannot lock even a bathroom stall. I cannot lock myself in anywhere. All those poor people have walked in on me in the bathroom. I feel so bad for them. I mean, that's how bad this thing is. But I had to do this energy work and release these fears of abandonment, of suppression, of burning, of rejection. And that was a year ago spring. And after I went to see this woman, well, actually it was sometime last fall, it's about a year ago, and after I went to see this energy healer, that's when really things started to launch for me.
Because as a citizen, as a citizen of this planet, I thank you for the karma yoga that you have gone through in your previous lifetimes, because it has put you through the trials by fire, unfortunately, literally as well, but you carried that with you while never losing the undying love and spirit for all of us, because those experiences have honed you to break free of the bonds when they did not involve a cell, or they did not involve incarceration or torture, but they involve the social structures that limit us from liberating our own minds and hearts. And you have channeled that into something positive to help the rest of us break free. on the Mashivaya.
Wow. that was beautiful. Yeah, it's been a hell of a ride, that's for sure. Yep.
And the ride continues, and that ride, ladies and gentlemen, is going forward thanks to pioneers of Leslie Carroll Botha, author of Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle. Find out more. I say things are rising. I study cycles. I say that's the way they're going. But Leslie Carroll Botha tells us how we are doing that rise, how we are changing ourselves, what it means, where we're coming from in detail, and how we can break free to our new future, thanks to the cycles of change and realization of same by minds like Leslie Carroll Botha. Visit her at holyhormones.com. Come back and visit us at the Cycles of Change radio program at blogtalkradio.com/cycles every Thursday night, 9 p.m. New York time, and 8 p.m. New York time. I've got to get the cycles right on that, and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm your host, David Katzmeier, thanking you for listening and thanking our favorite guest, Leslie Carroll Botha, for sharing her insights, her depth, her care, her experience, and her direction with us. Find out about that. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Are you still there?